travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand, it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can.
Safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand.
Family. Appreciate that. And well, I'll tell you one thing, in your time of desperate need, you better hope that you've been right with God, you follow the Lord, and I promise the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always hold your hand. Well, it's been a good day. Hope you've enjoyed being in church. I don't want to waste a Lord's day at all, do you? Listen, this day is the day the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this is the day that's set aside for worship of the Lord. I don't want to give him a quarter of it, a half of it, a two-thirds of it, three-quarters of it. I want to give him all of it. And that's the reason I'm back in church tonight. You say, well, where would you be if you weren't in church? Probably out of a job. But anyway, I would... But I don't want, listen, folks, I want to give God his due. I want to give him his day. This is his day. Hey, folks, he gives us 6 days to live, to work. And he says, listen, all I'm asking, just how about just one day? Just one day. And I want to make sure that I give him all of my day, this day to him. Well, take your Bible, if you would, go with me to one verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And then we'll turn in just a moment over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I started last Sunday night, church, a message on the character trait of loyalty and just simply entitled it with a question, where has loyalty gone? You know, would to God that that we had a church full of people. By the way, I'll tell you, we got as many people out of church sitting at home tonight as we got in the church in the pew. Would to God that we had church members that are on the church roll that believed in teamwork, that believed in a team effort. Hey, folks, listen, Christianity and serving God and worshiping and serving through the local church, it's not an individual effort. It's a team effort. And you know what it takes on the part of every member? It takes loyalty. It takes commitment. It takes dedication to the cause of Jesus Christ to be committed. Take your Bible. Are you there? Matthew chapter 6. Would you stand with me? Let's look at one verse. We'll pray and then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter number 12 here in just a moment. I said to you last week that among those who share a throne, there can be no loyalty. You see, if there's always a struggle in the heart of an individual about who's going to sit on the throne of your heart, there can be no loyalty. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man, he said, I'm telling you, absolutely no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. He said, it is impossible to have divided loyalty. I've heard people say, well, my loyalty is divided. Then you're unloyal. You're disloyal. Because you cannot serve two masters. Your loyalty and dedication will either be to one person or one cause, or it will not be at all to that person or that cause. So I want you to think about this tonight as we go forward, where Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Divided loyalty is disloyalty. And I want to take these verses tonight, church, and finish up the message I started last week about where has loyalty gone. The Lord bless us now in the short time that we have together. Would you please open the Word of God up to us and certainly do something special in our hearts tonight. We're grateful for your goodness throughout the day, for the people that have been saved, for the people that have been baptized and added to the church. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to do now in our hearts. Teach us, Holy Ghost, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there with me. I want to show you the greatest display of loyalty in the Scriptures and why that God desires us to be loyal in three different areas, which I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, listen to this now, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we hear that verse quoted a lot and used a lot in messages. The verse that we many times don't pay attention to is verse 3. Listen to what he says. For consider him. You say, wait a minute, wait, stop, time out. Consider who? Consider the loyalty of Jesus Christ. Consider the commitment of Jesus Christ. Consider the dedication of Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, who endured the cross and the shame for you and I. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, listen now, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, listen, if you lose the commitment and the principle of loyalty that Jesus Christ displayed in a great way when he walked up Golgotha's hill and presented absolute and complete faithfulness and loyalty for the cause of sinners like you and I, listen, the least we could do is return that loyalty to him. The least we could do. You see, the Scripture instructs us to consider him, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds, lest we become as disloyal servants or traitors to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to be right up front with you and tell you tonight, I think that disloyalty to Jesus is the highest form of spiritual treason that there is in Scripture. I'm telling you, to be disloyal, and listen to me, not just to his book, not just to his cause, but to his church, is treason to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, probably in our history, the most notable figure of what we would consider disloyalty to our country, if I mentioned to you students that have studied history the name of Benedict Arnold, the first thing that would come to your mind is one who is disloyal to his country, one who is a traitor to the cause, one who was a traitor to freedom, one who turned his back on people that had loved him and cared for him. In the Bible, probably the most notable figure, if I mentioned Judas Iscariot, many of you would think the first thing that would come to your mind would be disloyalty. But you listen to me. Judas betrayed Jesus. But you know where it began? It began with disloyalty. Disloyalty is not betrayal. But betrayal is a product of disloyalty. You see, people who become disloyal to a cause or to a person will eventually betray that person because of their disloyalty. It leads you down that trail. You see, I don't think Benedict Arnold, I certainly don't think that Judas Iscariot, when they were playing with their friends out in their schoolyard, I doubt very seriously that they went up to their friends and said, you know what? I'm going to be a traitor one day. You know what? I'm going to be disloyal to our country. I'm sure that Judas didn't go up to his little Jewish friends and say, you know what? I don't know about y'all, but listen, you know what I'm going to be one day? I'm going to be a traitor to the cause of Jesus Christ. What do you think about Judas? Hey, listen, these guys didn't plan to be terrorists. They didn't plan to be traitors. They didn't plan to be betrayers. Listen, they didn't plan to be disloyal. But you say, well, preacher, how did it happen? Listen, disloyalty usually is not planned. It just presents itself. Listen, and the character and ethics and principles upon which you stand will dictate how you respond to it. Listen, disloyalty will always present itself to you. It will present you to be disloyal to your family. It will present to be disloyal to your friends. And it will be presented to be disloyal to your faith. And we're going to look at all three of those in just a moment. You see, if I don't learn, church, the principle, and if you do not learn the principle of loyalty, you and I will not have loyalty in any of our relationships, whether it be family, friends, or faith. You see, my loyalty to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and I will dictate my loyalty to others. If I'm disloyal to Him, I can be disloyal very easily to other people. But listen, if I'm loyal to Him and dedicated to Him, it then will dictate my loyalty to other people. Because I have what was presented in Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. That's loyalty. That's what loyalty is. You see, loyalty says, I don't want my wife or my children or my friends or my church to suffer. And I don't want to suffer. But listen, but if they suffer, I'm going to suffer with them. Now you listen to me and you listen to me well. What happens is, usually when situations in family, situations with friends, and situations in the faith come up that aren't conducive and favorable, you know what most people do? They tuck tail and run. They get out of the relationship. They get out of the situation. They never consider loyalty. You mean to prove my point? You would think that 12 disciples having walked on this earth for 3.5 years with Jesus, you'd think they'd be loyal, right? You would think that after everything that they have seen, Miss Martha, everything that they had heard, they had prayed with Jesus, they had seen the miracles of Jesus, they had walked with Him, they had heard the instructions and teachings of Jesus. But let me tell you something. When the rubber met the road, they all ran. They all departed. You know what the problem is today? Let me tell you why America is in the shape that we're in. Let me tell you why Christianity is in the shape that it's in today. When the rubber meets the road, everybody's tucking tail and run. People are turning coat. They're turning and changing. And listen, they're changing their Bible. They're changing their standards. They're changing their direction. They're changing everything that they were raised on and saved to believe. You know why? Because society don't like that no more. And so it's much easier to be disloyal than loyal to a cause. You see, you will seldom, church, ever see the level of a man's loyalty on the mountaintop. You hear me? I said you will seldom ever see the level of a man's loyalty on the mountaintop. You see, it will always be revealed in battle. It will always be revealed in the valley. You see, loyalty is not clearly expressed or well defined on the mountaintop. You see, loyalty can be faked in good times when there's something to gain from the relationship. Let me tell you where loyalty is revealed in the battle. Loyalty is revealed when things are low and in the valley. It's how the elements respond to the heat of the battle and the heat of the valley. Let me give you an illustration. I love biscuits. I can't eat them now, but I love them. But you know, I've seen my wife take a plastic bowl and a container and take flour and milk and eggs and baking powder and oil and bacon grease and all that good stuff, you know, that you add into biscuits. I've seen her take all those ingredients and mix all those ingredients up. And boy, she'll take the blender, she'll take whatever she does, and she does all those things, the good things that you know what I'm talking about. All those good things that you do to biscuits. Beat them. Roll them. And I've seen her make those biscuits and pat those things out and set them on a sheet. And set them up on the bar at home. You know, the thing about it is I saw those biscuits up on the bar and I thought, you know what? Man alive, glory, I'm going to have some biscuits. Now, let me say something to you. Even though all the ingredients of the flour, the milk, the oil, the eggs, the baking powder, everything that goes into it, as long as they're sitting on the cookie sheet, listen to me, do you know they're still biscuits? You hear me? They're still biscuits. All the ingredients are there. But I'm not eating them like that. Are you? Let me tell you something, Miss Martha. When she takes the biscuits and then the heat is applied to the ingredients, you know what happens then? A transformation takes place. All of those ingredients, listen to me, all of those ingredients respond when the heat's applied. And let me tell you something. All those ingredients work together in loyalty. And you know what you got in just a few minutes? You got a biscuit that's edible. That's what you have. You see, nobody's going to eat the biscuit as long as it's sitting on the cookie sheet and raw. But you apply a little bit of heat and all the elements and all the ingredients in that biscuit respond in conjunction with one another to the heat. You know what they produce? They produce a biscuit that's edible. You see, what I'm saying to you folks is that loyalty is rarely is the level of loyalty is rarely seen on the mountaintop. It's normally in the valley where you see it. You see, we have soldiers that fight for our country. They go through boot camp and they go through the various training methods that they go through. And they make a commitment and they swear in and all the things that our military does. But you know where loyalty is revealed? Loyalty is revealed when you got bullets flying over your head. That's where it's revealed. And may I say, that's where loyalty is revealed in family, friends, and faith. You see, loyalty, church, is not something that you acquire by attending church or reading a book. Loyalty is a choice. Loyalty is taking in all of the investments in your life and then returning those to the people who have invested in you because of what they've done for you and what they've meant to you and what they have taught you. You see, loyalty is something God wants you to learn and practice in all your relationships. Loyalty is one of the leading character traits of a believer. Because listen now, the Spirit of Christ lives in you, and Jesus was the perfect example of loyalty. And because He was loyal, we ought to be loyal. You know, the Scripture says that so as He is, so are we in this world. As He was loyal and now sits at the right hand of God, we're supposed to be loyal in every relationship that we have in life. And yet it seems now loyalty has begun to be displaced in our society and unfortunately in our families, in our home, in our churches, in our country. When you've got people in high places in politics that are disloyal, to our country and disloyal to its cause and disloyal to its Constitution and disloyal to its purpose, what can we expect? It's just going to filter down to people. David, in his lifetime, was on both sides of this thing. Listen to me now. He was both on both sides. He was both disloyal and loyal. Now listen, let me say something to you. David had a lot of flaws, but loyalty wasn't one of them until he got himself in trouble. Then when he got himself in trouble, and you listen to me, that's usually when disloyalty will tempt you the most. It's when you get in trouble to do something. You say, when did he get in trouble? Remember that affair that he had with Bathsheba? Remember, Bathsheba was a married woman? And here was one of his best men, his best soldiers that he had. And David, trying to cover his own sin, tried to get Uriah to go back to Bathsheba to cover up his own sin. Let me tell you something. Uriah had more integrity than that. Uriah was more loyal to the war and to the cause than the king was at that time. He said, no, how can I do that? There's a war raging out there. My buddies are out there. There are people dying. I can't go into my wife and spend. I can't do that. Well, because David seemed like there was no other choice, he thought, well, I don't guess I have any other choice. So he says, take him into battle and take him to the front lines. And when the fighting gets hot, withdraw from him and leave him by himself. Now, I want to tell you something, my friend. That's sorry. That is as sorry as dirt. And I'm just going to say this right up front. You know what? For people who treat their parents and treat other people like that, that listen, they're your friend and they're all for you as long as there's something that's beneficial in the relationship for them. But when beneficial stop, when things stop benefiting them, let me tell you something. You know what? They'll withdraw and leave you in the battle. They'll withdraw and leave you out on the front lines. David became disloyal to Uriah, and of course Uriah died. But can I say David was also on the other end of this? David had been disloyal, but he was also a very loyal man. I want to show you an instant in his life. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 55. Turn to Psalm chapter 55, if you would, for just a moment. Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and verse number 1. David praying here says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Look at verse 4. He said, my heart is sore pained within me. You say, man, it sounds like this guy's grieving. Yes, he is. Because what David is experiencing right here, my friend, is pain that had been inflicted upon him because of disloyalty. You see, the thing about it is, he had experienced disloyalty. Oh, by the way, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man, a king, a teenager, a child sows, that shall he also reap. Let me tell you something, you better think twice before you're disloyal to somebody. Because I promise you, God will make sure that disloyalty comes back to you. It may not be today, it may not be next week, it may not be in 2 years or 5 years, but it will find you. It will find you again. You say, well, who were these people? I want you to turn over, if you would, to verse 12, same chapter. David says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Listen to this. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. He took sweet counsel, or we took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. You say, preacher, what is he talking about there? David was hurting and paining over somebody that was close to him, that had been disloyal to him. Somebody that he had trusted, somebody that he had eaten lunch with, somebody that he had spent time with. He says, this was a person that was mine acquaintance. He said, we had sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God in company. Uh-oh, that sounded like church people to me. He said, listen, this person that hurt me, this person that was disloyal, was somebody that not only I worked with, somebody not only that I called a friend, but somebody I went to church with. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that stabs a person, hurts a person more than the disloyalty of someone that's close to them. Someone in the heat of battle that turns their back on them. Someone in the heat of battle that you thought was your friend, that you thought was close to you, and they turned their back on you in the day of battle. I would probably venture to say that most everybody in this room has had somebody that you've come across in your lifetime like that. That's hurt you very deeply because of disloyalty. And normally, you know what you found out? You found out, Miss Martha, that, you know what, while you were on the mountaintop, boy, they were buddy-buddy with you. Man, they would go out to eat with you. They were all kinds of, but buddy, when you got in the valley and all of a sudden you got in trouble, they were nowhere to be found. Kind of like the disciples when Jesus was in the garden. He looked around, nobody to be found. Where were they? You see, you would think that the walking with Jesus 3.5 years, you would think that they'd be loyal. Well, hey, let me just go ahead and throw it out in 2012. You would think that Christians would be loyal since God did save you from hell, right? You think, listen, you would think that that would be the least thing that we could do for the Lord. You see, David was on both sides of this thing. He had been disloyal, but he was also a very loyal man. And the first area I want to cover tonight is simply this. Your family deserves your loyalty. Your family deserves your loyalty. As I mentioned to you, David was a loyal man. Some people didn't understand his loyalty. But if you'll remember, and I'll get back to this in just a minute at the end of the message, but if you'll remember, when the word came back of Absalom's death, David didn't say, well, good riddance, you sorry, good for nothing, son. You know what he did? When the word got back that Absalom had been killed, David fell on his face and said, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son. Now you listen, nobody understood that. They said, man, I guess the king would have been happier if we had all died and Absalom would have lived. Go check me out. That's what they said. They said he'd have been happier if we'd all died. His own son would have lived. He said, we haven't done anything to him. We followed him. We've been faithful to him. And here's his own son was disloyalty, and he's going to fall on his face and cry. You know why? Because he was a loyal daddy. And may I say to you tonight, your family deserves your loyalty. You say, why, preacher? First of all, because they're your blood kin. I said, because they're your blood kin. And it doesn't matter what trouble they get in. It doesn't matter how far deep in sin they go. You know what they're going to need? They're going to need somebody that's faithful to their kinship. They're going to need somebody that's faithful and loyal to their family. Such was the case with Joseph. Listen, if anybody had the right to be disloyal, Joseph had the right to be disloyal. His own brothers took him out of jealousy and cast him into a pit, listen, and would have killed him if the Midianite traders had not come by. So they sold him to the Midianites and went into Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar as a slave. Now you listen carefully. Joseph had every right to be disloyal to his family, but they were his kin. You see, Joseph remembered how God had delivered him from death and sold him into Egypt. Joseph remembered how God had put him in Potiphar's house and then delivered him from Potiphar's wife. Joseph remembered how God showed him favor in Pharaoh's prison and brought him out to become second in command over all of Egypt. None of this would have been possible, listen now, if his brothers hadn't sold him into Egypt. You see, David had his wits about him. Or Joseph had his wits about him. And you know what? When his brothers showed up, he had, it was in his power to have them either imprisoned or killed. But let me tell you something. Joseph understood a principle, and that principle was loyalty. And listen, when you go read the story, you can go check me out. He said, what you did for evil, God meant it for good. You know what he was telling me? He said, look, guys, don't weep. I'm not going to hurt you. He said, if you hadn't have done what you did, most of you would be dead today. Because he said, God used me to save many people alive. God allowed me to be put in this position. He said, guys, because of you, yes, I suffered. Yes, I was in prison. Yes, I went through some difficult times. But he said, boys, let me tell you something. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Man, you talking about getting hit in the face with something. You talking about, like, come back. What'd you say? I said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now listen, immediately, because they had been disloyal, what did they think he was going to be? They thought he was going to be disloyal, right? They thought, okay, we're dead. We're dead. Now listen to me. What happens is some of our family members get themselves in trouble in life. And because of maybe their bad decisions and their disloyalty to family, you know what? Many of them come back thinking you're going to be disloyal to them because they were disloyal to you. You know what you need to show? You need to show the loyalty of Jesus Christ. You need to show your family because of the love for Christ, and this, because Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and was loyal to you and died for you. Listen, it's the least I could do to return that loyalty to you. Joseph was loyal to his family because of his because they were blood kin. You see, he did it also because of the investment of the brothers in his life. Oh, by the way, Joseph wasn't always a teenager. You see, I'm sure that there were times that his brothers kind of kicked the old ball around the desert. I'm sure that they might have played, you know, tackle the goat or, you know, capture the sheep or whatever. You know, cut the tail off the sheep. I don't know what they played. Tail on the sheep. But you know what? He wasn't always a teenager. You know, his brothers had a little bit of investment in his life. And so when the time came, listen, you know when Joseph's loyalty was revealed? Not on the mountaintop. It was revealed when the biscuits went in the oven. You see, when the biscuits went in the oven, that's when they rose. Because I'm not eating them biscuits while they're still raw sitting on the cookie sheet. You know when I'm going to eat them? I'm going to eat them when the heat's applied and all of them respond in harmony together and come out a nice, hot, flaky biscuit. Man, I wish I wouldn't be talking about this because, man, I hadn't eaten a biscuit in forever. But David was faithful to his family because of blood kin, because of their investment. He was faithful because God had been loyal to him regardless of his circumstances and his situations. You see, Dave or Joseph remembered all of this. Joseph remembered all of the things and how God had orchestrated and was loyal to him and brought him to that place. He thought, you know what? The least I can do is be loyal to my brothers because what they meant for evil, God meant for good. And he said, I'm here today because of the grace of God. I'm just telling you tonight, folks, listen, your family deserves your loyalty. Number two, your friends deserve your loyalty. Your friends deserve your loyalty. You see, the thing about it is we want a friend, but we don't want to be a friend. You see, we want somebody that'll stand up and fight for us. We want somebody that's got our back. We want a friend like that. The problem is we don't want to be a friend. And yet Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. A friend, I'm talking about a genuine, godly, biblical friend, loveth at all times. You know what that means? You know what that means, folks? That means that when you're on the mountaintop or when you're in the valley. That's when you're making good decisions or you're making dumb decisions. That's when you're not in trouble and when you get in trouble. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now often we hear that verse preached that it's the friend inflicting the wounds. But I think we can also make the application that it's the friend who stands up for a friend and gets wounded. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of somebody that considers their friendship so dear that they're loyal to that friend and they'll stand up by their side even in the valley and even in the battle. You say, "Preacher, I don't have any friends like that." Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You need friends like that. Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You say, how does he sharpen his countenance? How about stand with him and be loyal? How about loyal? Listen to me. You say, how far does loyalty go? Loyalty to his confidence. So when he comes and tells you something, he knows that's as far as it goes. When he comes and tells you about issues about home or family or job situations, that it never goes any further. You know what that is? That's loyalty. The problem is today, we've got so many electronic devices that are such a temptation to be disloyal to the confidence of people. And here's what we think. We think if we go put it on all of these communicating networks that nobody from church is going to see it. Where did we get that idea? Folks, come on now. If somebody tells you something in confidence, you say, "Well, preacher, they didn't tell me not to tell anybody." Well, the nature of the conversation ought to tell you that. I mean, does somebody have to go and put a sign up and says, "Do not communicate anything I'm telling you"? The nature of the subject ought to tell us that we ought to be loyal to their confidence. You see, your friends deserve your loyalty. Probably, in my opinion, probably the greatest friendship and display of loyalty among friends is that of David and Jonathan. Possibly the greatest display of loyalty to a friend in all of Scripture. Matter of fact, take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's just look at it for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I don't have time to tell you the story, but I think you know the story of King Saul and David and the friendship that Jonathan and David had with one another and how Saul's desire was to kill David. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." I look back here. Miss Betty Barlow has given me many things over the years that she has sewn or knitted together. And Miss Betty, when you knit those things and you tie all those knots, is that thing pretty tight? Is that thing pretty firm? Yeah, absolutely it is. Matter of fact, it's hard to tear it apart. And the Scripture said that Jonathan's soul and David's soul were knit together. You know what that is, folks? That is a loyal friendship right there. It has been said that many people will live and die in their entire lifetime and have less than five true, loyal friends. You say, "Oh no, preacher, I got thousands of friends." You don't have 1,000 loyal friends. You say, "Oh no, preacher, they got my back." Okay, let's go get in hot water together and find out how many of them are going to stand with you. Let's go out here and all of the people that say they're your friends, let's go out here to the mall next Saturday and stand up with our King James Bible and stand up on the bench and start preaching and see how many of them hang out with you. You know where they'll be? Like the disciples, man. They'll be in every store looking around. And people are like, "Man, look at this idiot out here. Anybody know him?" Never seen that jerk in my life. You say, "Oh, preacher, I wouldn't do that to my friend." You know what? The disciples didn't think they'd do it to Jesus either. But they did, didn't they? And the reason they did is, you know why? Because as long as they were on the mountaintop and their loyalty was never tested, they were fine. But when the loyalty got tested and the biscuits went into the oven, that's when everything changed. And as I said, the level of loyalty is seldom revealed on the mountaintop. You see, the soul of Jonathan, the Scripture says, was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan made a covenant, the Bible says, with David. Listen, it went so far that the Scripture says, look in verse 2, and Saul took him that day and would let him not go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I want you to look. This is commitment right here, folks. This is loyalty. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. And who did he give it to? He gave it to his friend. He gave it to David in his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And then it says that David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself how? Wisely. You know why? Because he had a loyal friend. He had a loyal friend. And so all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is our friends deserve our loyalty. Where has loyalty and friendship gone? We need friendships that are true, that are honest, and are real. You see, a biblical friendship should not be, what can my friend do for me? It ought to rather be, what can I do for my friend? And I think if you'll think about it real hard, most everybody in here has one or two true friends that you would consider loyal, that if you ever got yourself in hot water, they'd be right there with you. They'd be standing by you, loving you, praying for you. Hey, listen, they're not going to condone your sin or your guilt, but you know what? They can support you in prayer. They can support you and say, listen, I'm sorry this happened, but I'm going to pray for you. You see, it's all the other fringe friends are the ones that will leave you in a heartbeat. I said your family deserves your friends, your loyalty. I said your friends deserve your loyalty. And then I want to say to you, your faith deserves your loyalty. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I can't think of another person in all the New Testament that probably depicts loyalty to Jesus Christ more than the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, you know what Paul says? I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Oh, but look at this last thing. See, there's a lot of people finishing their course. There's a lot of people that fought a good fight. But he says, I didn't just fight a good fight. I didn't just finish my course. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, you know what? People tried to get me to change Bibles. I didn't change. People tried to get me to change my music. I didn't change. People tried to get me to change my preaching. I didn't change. People tried to draw me away and try to get me to preach another gospel. I didn't change. I'm not preaching no social gospel. He said, I'm not preaching a gospel other than that which I've heard and that which I've seen. He said, I have to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith. Can I say to you tonight, church, your faith deserves your loyalty. The Apostle Paul sticks out as probably the greatest New Testament Christian outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe even John the Baptist. You say, well, how do we know that he was a great Christian? Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul writes this, he's not boasting about these things. He's just giving us information. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Paul says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Anybody here have been whipped five times with 39 stripes? Anybody? He did. Oh, by the way, he didn't run from it either. By the way, while they were whipping him, he didn't recant his faith in Jesus Christ either. By the way, while they were doing all this, we don't have any record in here that he says, I changed my mind. But let me tell you something. You know, that's the spirit of the last days, though. The spirit of the last days is recanting their faith. He said, five of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, he said, I was beaten with rods. You know what they would do when they beat you with rods? They'd strip you naked and lay you down and start on the bottom of your feet with either a stick or some type of object, metal object, and they would beat the bottom of your feet. And then they would work up your body all the way to the back of your head. They wouldn't hit you in the head because they didn't want to kill you. They wanted you to suffer. Then they'd roll you over and beat you from your neck down. You say, my goodness, that's cruel. Paul said, that didn't happen once, that happened three times. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. He said, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now stop here just a minute, folks. I don't know about you. This kind of Christianity is totally foreign. This is totally foreign to us. Folks, this is not any bedtime story we're going to read our kids tonight. This isn't something we're going to pull our kids up and say, folks, kids, y'all, everybody gather around. I'm going to read you about the Apostle Paul. Five times was he beat with 40 stripes. Say, one. What is that, Mama? Oh, that's when they ripped the flesh off of him. He had that five times. Oh, that's not it, kids. They beat him with rods. Let me tell you what that is. Now listen, no parent's going to sit and read their kid bedtime stories about this, but you listen to me. This type of Christianity, this type of loyalty is totally foreign to the 2012 Christian today. We know nothing about this kind of loyalty. We know nothing about this kind of Christianity. We know nothing about it. You know why? Because the sad thing is, even the smallest little thing upsets somebody, boom, they're gone. Smallest little thing. You see, the Apostle Paul endured these afflictions. Where's the spirit of loyalty gone? Isn't it amazing? Jude said that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what that word contend means? It means struggle for it. That means what in our day and time, folks, there's going to have to be a group of people that are going to struggle for our beliefs. They're going to struggle to keep this book in existence today among the people of God. To keep the right kind of worship that's proper and holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Somebody's going to have to keep the faith. You see, loyalty to the faith requires some key elements. But you know where those key elements are found? Those key elements are found when Paul, writing to the Romans, he said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what he said? He said, folks, was I not clear on what Jesus did for you? Was I not clear what it's like to wear a crown of thorns upon your brow? Was I not clear how they beat him beyond recognition and ripped his beard out of his face? Isaiah told us in Isaiah 53 that nobody desired him. Nobody desired to look upon him. He said, which is your reasonable service? Now here's the key. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember what I said a while ago? Loyalty is not something you read in a book. Loyalty is a choice because of all the investments that people have made in you that attaches you to them and you return that to them. You see, Paul had investments by so many people. And he says, if we're going to serve God and we're going to be loyal, there's going to have to be a transforming of our mind, a renewing of our mind. You say, like what, preacher? Like a caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. That type of transformation. A total change of the way we think. You see, to conform leads to disloyalty of the faith, but to transform leads to a new way of thinking in loyalty to Christ. You see, Peter didn't become loyal until there was a transformation of his mind. He said, when did he become loyal? Remember as Jesus was walking on the shore of Galilee with him? in John 21 after he called him out, after he went back fishing, and he called him to shore? He said, come and dine. Lovest thou me more than these? Remember that? And as they walked along the seashore, you know what the Lord, one of the things the Lord told him? The Lord told him how he was going to die. That he was going to die a death for standing up for and being loyal to the cause of Christ. Now that excited Peter, because you know what? He remembered when he was disloyal. He remembered when he denied the Lord three times. He remembered in the Garden of Gethsemane when he took off just like everybody else did. You see, Peter ran with the other disciples in Gethsemane. But when he was transformed in John 21 by the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you something, my friend, he didn't run anymore. You go to Acts chapter 2, he didn't run then. You go find when Herod threw him in prison, he didn't run then. You see, he stood up because he had now settled in his mind. His thinking had been transformed. You see, when are we, church members, going to stop running in disloyalty to Christ and give Him His day of worship back? When are we going to stop running and be disloyal to this book and memorize it and store it and hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Him? When are we going to get back to loyalty to the Word of God, to prayer, to winning souls, to doing something that's going to matter for eternity? And here's my concluding story. Remember I told you a while ago about the story of David? I told you we'd get back to it. Because, my friend, disloyalty is bred in people. And I'm going to show you how it's bred in you. You see, I didn't go into all the details of the story because I have to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and 3 to build the story. And if you'll hang with me just a minute, I'm going to draw this to a conclusion. And I'm going to show you how people become disloyal to Jesus Christ. How they become disloyal to their church, and how they become disloyal to the cause and the purpose that this scripture teaches. Joab played a key figure in this whole story. Remember when I told you when the news came about Absalom? I must take you back and remind you that there was a conflict after Saul's death between the followers of Saul and the followers of David. The man that led the armies of King Saul was a man by the name of Abner. Abner was the captain of King Saul's army. And after Saul's death, he led Israel to crown Saul's son Ishbosheth as king over Israel. Well, we know that those in Judah had taken David to Hebron and crowned him king over Judah. So it seems to me there's an opposition going on here because Abner says, no, I'm loyal to Saul and to Ishbosheth. And the men of Judah said, no, we're loyal to David and to him. He's been anointed king. Joab was the captain over David's army. Well, in the process of time, the armies of Abner and Ishbosheth came out against the armies of David and Joab. Abner and Joab met in battle. Long story short, Abner killed Joab's brother Asahel. Remember that? Remember Asahel after the battle began to follow Abner, and Abner says, listen, you need to turn back. You need to go your own way, because he said, if you don't, I'm going to kill you. And he stayed after him, and Abner killed Asahel. Oh, that was Joab's brother. Remember the guy that's the captain of David's army? You know who killed him? Abner, the captain of Saul's army. So Abner kills Joab's brother. Well, the army of David began to prevail, and during the course of time, a strong disagreement came up between Abner and Ishbosheth. And Abner was accused of going into Ishbosheth's concubine. He says, I can't believe that you're accusing me of the situation with this woman. He says, you know what? I should have gone to David to begin with. And he left Ishbosheth and went to David. Remember this? And he went to David and said, listen, I'll be loyal to you. Listen now. And David made a league with Abner for Saul's sake. Now, think here just a minute. Abner killed Joab's brother. David now makes a league with Abner. Joab is still on David's side and still captain of his army. Are you with me?
Joab heard of David's league with Abner. Oh, by the way, who killed Joab's brother. And immediately Joab goes into David and confronts him. He says, what do you think you're doing? He said, don't you know this scum killed my brother? He said, what do you mean you make a league with him? He said, I can't believe that you'd do that to me. Well, Joab got angry. And what he decided to do is he decided he was going to trick Abner to come back to town. And he tricked Abner to come back to town. And Joab conspired with his other brother and they killed Abner. Now, to add insult to injury, here's what happened. The funeral comes for Abner. You know what David tells Joab to do? Go get sackcloth on. Mourn for Abner. Listen, folks, you got to understand, there's something building here in Joab. There's something begin to build here because he don't agree with leadership. He didn't agree with the decisions that leadership made. And so he just decided that, you know what, I can't believe. What do you mean go get sackcloth on and mourn the death of Abner? This further angered Joab. Well, church, Joab never got over these decisions by David and leadership. And the seed of disloyalty began to plant itself in his heart. You see, Joab probably, when he got to this place, he probably should have resigned as captain. And by the way, let me just give you some advice. When you feel the seed of disloyalty to leadership coming up, the best thing for you to do is resign. Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's going to happen. On your job, when you become disloyal to your boss and disloyal to your job, if you don't resign, that disloyalty is going to lead to betrayal and you're going to get fired. And then you're not going to have any recommendations from anybody about your next job. Why did you fire him? Because he betrayed me and was disloyal to the company. You think another company's going to hire you? You see, the thing about it is something was building in Joab. Now Absalom rises to the throne, remember? And the men of the army of David, led by Joab, now came out against Absalom and his men. And before they left, remember David says, he was going to oversee this whole thing. And the people said, no, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to get hurt. We want you to stay here with us. He said, okay. But when he looked at those three captains as they went out, and one of them was Joab, he said, listen, deal kindly with the young man, Absalom. Listen, folks, everybody heard him give those commands. Everybody heard him say, listen, don't you hurt my boy. Don't you hurt my son. Well, in the process of time, the heat of the battle stirred up. The armies of, led by Joab, the armies of David began to prevail. And the scripture says that Absalom rode on a donkey, rode under an oak tree, and got his head caught in that oak tree. The word came to Joab, hey, you're not going to believe this. Absalom's caught in a tree over here. Now listen to me. Remember the seed of disloyalty that was brewing in Joab's heart? You know where it all started? It all started because he didn't agree with David because he made a league with Abner who had killed his brother. And that disloyalty had already started in him. When he left the city, what was the last word that Joab got from the king? Deal gently with the young man, Absalom. Very clear orders. When Joab gets out in the heat of battle, Joab, the news gets back to him that Absalom's caught in a tree. Listen, and Joab tries to get a young soldier to go kill him. You know what that young soldier said? Not me. He said, I heard what the king said. He said, if I kill him, you know who's going to be the next one that's going to be fried when we get back to town? Me. He said, I got a wife. Now, he didn't say this in scripture. I'm just thinking that he's thinking, I got a wife and kids. Crazy? I'm not going out there and kill him. How can I do this against the king's word? Listen now, you know what he said? Here was a common soldier that was more loyal to the cause and purpose than the captain was. Somebody that was being put in authority. He said, I'm not going to do it. Well, Joab says, fine, I'll do it myself. He goes out, puts three darts in him, kills him. Now you listen to me. It's no wonder that we see Joab's disloyalty come to fruition in 2 Samuel chapter 18. When David gave him clear instructions to deal gently with the young man Absalom. And here's the conclusion. Disloyalty has a pattern to it. You hear me? It's got a pattern. And normally it starts, first of all, in your thoughts. It, first of all, started in the mind of Joab because of what, church? He disagreed with leadership. Now, you listen to me. Some of you young teenagers, you better listen to me well. You're going to disagree with mom and dad from time to time. You're going to disagree with some decisions they made. But listen, the dumbest decision you can make is run away. The dumbest decision you can make is run because you don't agree with authority and leadership. Let me tell you something. You may not understand now, but you will understand in the long run. You see, it started with Joab's thoughts, his disagreement with leadership and his decisions. Listen now, then it went from his thoughts to his words. He tried to get this young soldier to go kill him. You see, Joab thought disloyal thoughts, and then he tried to communicate that to somebody else. Listen, and tried to get them to be disloyal with him. Now, folks, you listen to me. You better listen to what I'm saying. People are going to come to you. They're going to try to get you to be disloyal to this book. They're going to try to get you to be disloyal to this church. They're going to try to get you to be disloyal to the cause of Jesus Christ. You better not follow them. You better not. Because I promise you, you will rue the day that you do it. Because here's Joab. It started in his thoughts. It continued in his words. And listen, anybody that's disloyal will always look for somebody to be disloyal with them. They can never do it by themselves. You know what people that are disloyal, you know what they are? They're cowards. Because they always do it in the shadows. Because they're such a coward, they'll never come face to face with you. You see, did you notice in here? Joab came one time to David's face when he made that league with Abner. The rest of the time, you know how he did it? Behind David's back. He did it in the shadows. Why? Because he was a stinking coward. You listen to me. Disloyalty has a pattern. It started in his thoughts. It continued in his words. And listen, church, here's lastly. It concluded with his actions. He killed the king's son. He killed the king's son. But you know where it started? It started with his thoughts. It continued with his words. And it followed, finally, with his actions. You say, oh, well, preacher, is there any consequences for being disloyal? Here's the conclusion. Are you there in 1 Kings chapter 2? Remember David's dying? David's dying and he calls Solomon to his side. And as he calls Solomon to his side, look down at verse number 6. He says, moreover, thou knowest, this is David talking to Solomon, giving him some instructions before he dies and before Solomon takes over the kingship. He says, moreover, thou knowest also that Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me. Did you notice he said, Joab did to me. He said, what did he do to him? He killed his son. You say, why did he do that, preacher? Because he's disloyal. And you know what disloyalty will do? It always hurts other people. Always. There's nothing good about disloyalty. And disloyalty plants the seed of betrayal. You see, Judas was disloyal in his mind and his words before he ever followed through with betrayal in his actions. But David draws Solomon. He says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet." Listen now. "Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his," Joab's, "hoar head go down to the grave," circle these last two words, "in peace." You know what disloyalty brings? It brings an absence of peace in the heart and mind of those who have been disloyal to their Lord, to His purpose, and to His church. The curse of God, no peace. I'm just saying to you tonight, church, where's loyalty gone? You see, the thing about it is disloyalty has been around since the beginning of time. Because you know what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Disloyalty. Yeah. You say, "But wait a minute. No, preacher. Pride did." Yeah. That led to disloyalty. Let me tell you something. You don't want to ever get on that side of God. You don't want to ever get on the side of God and be disloyal to the faith. Because, folks, tonight, your family deserves your loyalty. Your friends deserve your loyalty. And your faith deserves your loyalty. You get around somebody that starts talking against leadership and starts talking against people. Listen, I don't care whether it's a church, on your job, listen, or in your family. You start talking about my wife and kids, you better pucker or duck. You say, "Oh, well, a preacher shouldn't do that." Yeah, the problem is you might not, but I will. Because there's just something in me, dear friend. I'm a loyal person. I'm loyal to my wife. I'm loyal to my kids. I'm loyal to my family. I'm loyal to my friends. By the way, I'll do it for my friends too. And I'll certainly do it for the Lord. You see, you say, "Preacher, that's just not the right attitude." Well, the thing about it is, that's unfortunately the attitude of the end times. Nobody wants to stand up for their family. Nobody wants to stand up for their friends. And nobody certainly wants to stand up for Christ. I hope that's not us. But let me tell you something. You're going to be confronted with it constantly in your Christian life. You must prevail. I want you to bow your heads together tonight with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian." Slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's me. No question about it. I'm a born-again believer." Wonderful, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask you tonight, bless this invitation. I pray, Lord God, please, that tonight that you would instill in us a loyalty that would take us all the way to the grave if it need be. And Lord, a loyalty to this book, and a loyalty to your church, and a loyalty to your purpose, and a loyalty to your people, Lord. Oh, that's what we need. We need teamwork. We need team effort if we're going to reach our city, our state, and the world for Christ. Oh, Father, I pray so much of the membership of Trinity Baptist Church, so many that are on the church roll tonight are not even in church tonight and won't be in church on Wednesday night and may not even be in church on next Sunday morning. And Father, they're missing out on so many things. But most of all, that's of great sorrow is, Father, they're not even giving you a full day of worship, only a part of a day, a few hours. I realize, Lord, sometimes people get sick or go out of town. I realize that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who willfully refuse to be loyal to the throne of Christ. Oh, Lord God, please, would you restore them, renew them. I pray for those under the sound of my voice tonight, that tonight, Lord God, that you'd do something special in our hearts to help us to be faithful and loyal soldiers of the cross. Now, with the heads bowed, eyes closed, no